Good evening to all of you. Let's just quickly stand again. Just take the person next to you's hand and let's just consecrate this time really unto the Lord. Father, tonight as we stand before you, we know that, Father, it's through your grace that we have the ability to really live Christ, to experience Christ in our lives and through our lives. And tonight we want to consecrate our lives unto you again. We want to, Father, truly, out of a place of humility, Father, recognize that without you, we know nothing. And Father, if we look at this world, we recognize tonight, Father, that things are not going, Father, as it should. If you were here, Jesus, you would not have been satisfied. There's so many things that you would have changed in this day and age. But tonight, in the name of Jesus, we come as your ambassadors and we want to ask you, Jesus, do through us as you are pleased. We love you. We love you. We love you. We love you. And tonight we recognize that without you we are nothing. In Jesus' name, amen. Great. Now you can have a seat. Thank you, guys. I want to, before I give some news to you tonight, I want to actually just share a word that I actually shared last weekend at Bloemfontein. And I was preparing something else, but I felt that I must actually share it with you guys as well. If you can turn with me in Jeremiah 29, verse 10 to 14. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 10 to 14. If you have your Bible, yeah, please follow with me in your Bible. It's always good to have that hard copy. Verse 10 of chapter 29. For thus says the Lord, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, and I want to emphasize for Babylon, I will visit you, and I will fulfill to you my promise and bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, in well-known scripture, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Verse 12, then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me. When you seek me with all your heart, I will be found by you, declares the Lord. And I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and all the places where I have driven you, declares the Lord. And I will bring you back to the place from which I sent you into exile. Just verse 10 again. For thus says the Lord, when 70 years are completed for Israel. Okay, is there anyone awake here tonight? For Babylon, I will visit you. And I will fulfill to you my promise and bring you back to this place. Are you all awake tonight? For Babylon. A promise that we so well know. And you know what? One of the things that I so often in the past used as one of those scriptures that you tell people when you want to speak the thoughts of God over their lives. When you really want to bless them. Just to say, listen, God is so excited about you. God really loves you. God has these plans for you, this purpose, this big calling and awesome stuff. Are you with me tonight? So often we use this scripture in this way. And you know what? Until I understood the context of this scripture. Jeremiah 29 was in the midst of a time where Jeremiah the prophet came to Israel in a lot of calamity. A time when, you know what? At this stage, Israel was actually not in their own country. Their families departed from one another. They actually were divided. Families were really scattered all over Babylon. A time of real hardship for Israel, not being in their own nation. And you know what? At this stage, you know, in Israel, it was quite significant because in Jerusalem, you had the situation where there was a king, Josiah, and this king fought for the freedom of the city. He had opposition from Assyria, and from the age of 8, he already became king, a great responsibility on his life. He overpowered Assyria, and at that stage, you know, he really uplifted the oppression that was over Israel. But then there was two great nations. In the north, you had Nebuchadnezzar from Babylon, and in the south, you had Necho, the Egyptian leader. And they were fighting from both sides for Jerusalem, for the last tribe of the nation of Israel, Judah. And at this stage, this king was actually fighting such a good battle for Israel, but he lost his life in a battle to the south. And then the whole of Jerusalem was actually overpowered, and even the temple was destroyed. So for Israel, and I just want to bring the context again, remember, for the nation of Israel to understand the ways of God, the only thing that they are fighting for is the presence of God. Moses declared that. He said, God, if you are not with us, why then should we go from here? Because that is the only thing that people know about Israel, is the fact that our Lord is with us. And that's why David would fight for the Ark of the Covenant to say, listen, we bring back the presence of God into this nation, because that is all that differentiate us from the rest of the nations. Are you with me tonight? It's an important fact to understand, because for Israel now, the temple is destroyed. There's no ways in which they will experience the presence of God through the temple and the priests as Israel knew it until now. And then we know all of the prophets like Micah declaring that the Messiah would come, the one that will bring back the presence. But understand now that Israel is in Babylon. The whole tribe of Judah and, you know, all of the Israelites scattered all over Babylon. And now the words God gave to Israel. I've got good thoughts for you. Thoughts to prosper you, to bless you as a nation. So in the midst of this calamity, God wanted to assure them that He's still with them. And you know what? If I look at our country, and I've been in Gauteng this weekend, and again just reminded myself why I'm still in Cape Town. You know, if you look at just the rushing of, you know, everyday life and so many things happening, and you see the crime and the stuff, and then you just start to think, you know, about this world that we are living in. Last month was Child Month. You know, and it was sad for me to hear so many testimonies of kiddies being raped, where their throats was just slit by their fathers, killed, destroyed in their own families. You listen not far from here, you listen to the story of a girl that was bottled up her private parts until death. And you listen to these stories and you think, where is society going? The other morning I was actually just sitting in my quiet time, and I was just reminded about this scripture. I want to just throw it in here tonight. Jude, verse 3. Beloved, although I was very eager to write to you about our common salvation, I found it necessary to write appealing to you to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. For certain people have crept in unnoticed who long ago were designated for this condemnation, ungodly people who pervert the grace of our God into sensuality and deny our only Master and the Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't want to even go to the rest of the chapter. Speaking about the last days. So if you look around you and you think about, you know, even our nation and the world where it's going, and just the toughness to stand for Christ and to really stand for the cause of Christ, then you think, there's no hope. You know, for Israel at a time like this, they are in Babylon with the same kind of thoughts. God, where are you in the midst of the chaos that we are in? I'm not with my family. There's no hope for me within a nation that followed you and that carried the presence of you to all of the other nations? Why do we still exist? You know what? I want to quickly read to you Isaiah 64, verse 1 to 4. Oh, that you could rend heavens. Listen to this verse. I really want you to listen. The heavens and come down that the mountains might quake at your presence. As when fire kindles brushwood and the fire causes water to boil to make your name known to your adversaries and that the nations might tremble at your presence. When you did awesome things that we did not look for, you came down, the mountains quake at your presence. From of old, no one has heard or perceived by the ear, no eye has seen a God besides you who acts for those who wait for him. Are you with me tonight? Are you still awake? This is an awesome scripture. From of old, no one has heard or perceived by the ear. No eye has seen a God besides you who acts for those who wait on him. You know what's so awesome? If you look at the Muslims and you look at so many other religions today, you know, I was just so convicted again when I saw that painting the other day, you know, of this, Krishna girl, and I was just thinking, you know what, it's so sad that we live in a society where people would worship a dead God and get nothing back from him. And you and I live this life to such an extent where we know the truth. We know the presence of God. We know Jesus Christ as the Savior and the Holy Spirit living in our lives. We know the solution. We know a God that if we speak and call upon him, that he will hear us. And this is what God wants to remind them of, is that, listen, in the midst of your chaos, I'm still here. I still have the same thoughts about you. I still love you the same way. Because God is faithful. You know what? It went to such an extent in Jeremiah 32, verse 6 to 15, and I'm not going to read it tonight, that God expect this man, Jeremiah, to actually go and buy land in Jerusalem in the midst of a total takeover as a step of faith that over 70 years from now, I'll have my little property. Because I believe in the word of God enough that I know that we will come back and be restored in everything that God promised. Because I know the promises of God. It's just. God is a faithful God. You know, for some of you tonight, I must tell you, you can't trust for R1 million before you didn't trust God for 10. There's a step of faith that you and I take in the midst of our chaos to say to God, God, got this desire to follow you. Last night I was sitting around a fire with a bunch of young working people. You know, it was so amazing in Boksburg, of all places. I went to this party with one of the pastors that's actually now going to Tigerberg, a new pastor that's coming into our fold. And I was sitting there, I went to the party with them and we watched the rugby and we had this hat party. We went crazy. You know what? I was almost more tired of this party than any other HQ visit. but a fun time. We watched the rugby and the Springboks won. Are you with me? Amazing time together. And then after this big match and this big hype, we sat down around the fire and one guy took out his guitar. And he started to worship God. He just worshiped and he worshiped. And you know what? People spontaneously just started to testify of God's goodness in their lives. They just started to tell us, you know what? What happened this week in my life? My business was almost, you know, bankrupt. But I can tell you after this week, God gave me this contract and this contract and this contract. And it was confirmed just about a week ago. And God said, 5 days from now, you will receive the breakthrough that I've promised you. You know, I was sitting there and I was just once again reminded of the goodness of God. Such a place where you know that God is faithful. And in the midst of our calamity, God says, cry out to me. You know what? At this stage, Israel was even called the prostitute. So Israel deserved not to have their God coming back to them. They were actually so unfaithful to the Torah that was at that stage. You know, the measurement of faithfulness toward God. But still, God came back and He said, I will provide to those who call on me. I will work for those who wait on me. And then, you know what? Jeremiah, in the midst of these circumstances, Jeremiah 6, let me first read this. Jeremiah 6, verse 16. Thus says the Lord, stand by the roads and look and ask for the ancient paths, where the good way is, and walk in it and find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. Israel being so unfaithful, and still yet in the midst of this, God was so faithful in pulling them again back to His heart. I had this one moment, one evening, I remember so clearly my little daughter, Annemar. She's about 9 years old now. And she just shouted out of her little room. And I ran to her room. I thought she fell off the bed or something terrible happened or there was a thief. And I got to her room, and as I bumped into her, she looked me in the face and she said, Dad, but I called you. Where were you? And I could see in her little eyes the moment of the trust in a dad that comes to her salvation. In such a small age, she knows that my dad can do it. My dad, I feel safe. And you know what? When I think about Israel at this stage, and if I think about my life and your life, in the midst of the chaos that we are in, Father God just wants us to understand. Shout, I'm here. I'm faithful. I love you enough that I will again remind you of my promises. And this is where Israel is at. But you know what? It cost him a lot. It said in Jeremiah 11, verse 19, but I was like a gentle lamb to the slaughter. It was not easy. He was called the weeping prophet, the second Moses, Jeremiah, in the midst of these circumstances. You know what was similar to him and Moses was the fact that he also couldn't speak. He got this, you know, message from God, but in the midst of this, he was not able to even speak the message. Jeremiah 20, verse 9. Listen to this beautiful scripture. If I say I will not mention him or speak any more in his name, there is in my heart, as it were, a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I'm weary with holding it in, and I cannot. There's something within Jeremiah that says, I cannot but speak what God says I must speak. I want to challenge you tonight. You know what? In the midst of being here in George, God has a message for George. God has a plan and a purpose. And in the midst of the calamity, in the midst of the chaos that we are living in, God is asking you and me, are you bringing my message? I saw a picture while praying for you guys of so many Christians busy pulling, you know, doing tug of war, fighting against one another, striving toward one another for the favor of God. And God wants to stand in the midst of it and say, stop. Stop. Experience my presence. Come back to the love that you have toward me. And you know what? For Jeremiah the prophet, he says, I cannot but speak what God wants me to speak. a beautiful picture. And you know what? Israel received their deliverance. And I saw yesterday, you know, I went to this other lady's party. Actually, it was a day full of parties yesterday with another pastor, 75-year-old lady. She had her birthday, and so many people were speaking at her birthday about her. They had the opportunity just to stand up, and you know what was so beautiful to me is the legacy that she's leaving behind. That it doesn't matter what day God takes her away, the legacy of so many other people that testify of the burning desire that she had for so many years to speak of God was so encouraging. I want to be such a person. When I'm at the age of 75, you know what? I want to still serve God with a desire to bring His truth to people around me. You know what? For Jeremiah, the deliverance of Israel was important. But there was a faith that they had. Verse 14, I will be found by you, declares the Lord. And I will restore your fortunes. And I gather you from all the nations and all the places where I have driven you, declares the Lord. And I will bring you back to the place from which I sent you into exile. The faith is the one where God says, I will bring you back. You know what? We live in so much fear in the circumstances that we are in that we forget that God is in control. I see so many Christians living in captivity that they are just not living in the fullness of ruling in their circumstances. You know, I had this conversation with my wife just the other day. We landed in Bloemfontein, and it was quite a bumpy ride. The wind was not blowing. It was fearless. I mean, it just was thunderous in Bloemfontein of all places. And we had this little, the same aeroplanes that you have here in George. Those small ones with the propellers. Did any of you go on some of those aeroplanes before? There's a few of you. You just don't feel safe. You're in the air and you feel when the wind is blowing that, you know, this is your last day. We got onto the landing strip, and my wife just went off. She was so afraid. And I said to her, you know what? We so often find ourselves in fear in our circumstances that we don't overcome the things that God wants us to overcome because Jesus is still in the boat. We are living lives of captivity. For Israel in Babylon, it's not a great king to live for. This king, if we remember the story of Daniel, was forcing his people to bow before him. Every day there was fear in the hearts of so many Israelites because they could not serve their king. But in the midst of that, God speaks Jeremiah 29, verse 5 to 7. Build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat their produce. Take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, that they may bear sons and daughters, multiply there. This sounds like nice stuff, isn't it so? Are you with me? This sounds like the American dream. Building houses, live in them, plant gardens, eat their produce, take wives and have sons and daughters. There's a lot of nice things that's happening. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, that they may bear sons and daughters, multiply there and do not decrease. But seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile and pray to the Lord on its behalf. For in its welfare, you will find your welfare. Are you with me tonight? In the midst of your circumstances, I can tell you tonight, God wants you to rule over your circumstances. God actually wants you to live a happy life. To experience the kind of life where you can show to the world, my God is faithful. And he says to Israel, you know what? You will not have a pity party. You will not sit in the midst of Babylon and think that I've deserted you. I'm still with you. You know what? You're going to rule this nation. And then we see the beautiful picture that happens. In the midst of this powerful nation, Babylon, you've got Nebuchadnezzar, and then you've got Daniel. A guy that decides that I will not just live, I will not just survive, I will not just have the circumstances rule over me. I will actually be the best out of all the people that can be chosen to go to the king. Are you with me? I will rule to such an extent where God can use me in a nation called Babylon so that I will overcome. You know, God loves us so much that he says in Romans 8, I will work everything together for the good because I love you. Jeremiah chapter 31. Turn with me in your Bibles, even if you can. It's a long piece of scripture. Jeremiah chapter 31. Verse 31. No, sorry, 29. No, let me just get the scripture right. 31, verse 31, sorry. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, declares the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And no longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me. From the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and I will remember their sin no more. Thus says the Lord, who gives the sun for light by day and the fixed order of the moon and the stars for light by night, who stirs up the sea so that its waves roar. The Lord of hosts is his name. God says, I will be their God, and they will be my people. The last thing that I want to talk to you about tonight is the one of, if we live a life of contentment, then we must live a life of thankfulness. A life where we can tell one another that, you know what? God has plans for us. I've heard this story of this guy that bought this farm after centuries of being a family farm. And he bought this farm from this family, and the first harvest that he was taking up, he went into the field, and there lied a very precious stone. He took it to the jeweler, and he found that it was worth millions of rands. The previous family had to sell their farm after many generations because they didn't have enough money anymore to sustain the farm. You know what? The jewel was lying there all along. They didn't open their eyes to see in the midst of the field that God already provided the solution. And I can tell you, in the midst of our circumstances, that we are so busy looking at what God is not providing and what God is not giving, that we miss the little jewel that God already gave us. That in the midst of the field, God already provided the most precious stones in our lives so that we can be thankful. The sign of any person being matured in Christ is the sign of being thankful for the little things that God is busy doing. You know what? It's those people that you get around you, and then when you speak about God, they can tell you, you know what, I prayed for this little toe of me. You know, I've got a girl there in Stellenbosch. Where's Amu? Mariette. Now Mariette, we call her Mal Mariette because she just talks all the time. But when you speak to Mariette, you know, she can't wait to tell you what God has done in her life. The other day she had to tell me, you know what, I can't remember if it was a little toe or it was her fingernail. I can't remember, but it was so good and awesome because God did something in her life. You know what? If you really live a life of thankfulness, you can tell a story every moment of the day of God's goodness in your life because you know God, because you know God's provision in your life. You know, I was so excited about these young people sitting around the fire telling their little stories because I knew that they've got a living relationship with Christ. We get so mature in Christ that we forget that He's doing anything in our lives. We don't have a testimony. And God says to Israel, you know what? In the midst of your chaos, remember you're Israel. Remember, I'm still with you. You know what? I listened to Nick Mallett, one of the rugby commentators on Supersport the other day. And he was telling, you know what? The difference between the analyzers of the South African rugby teams and those of the New Zealand rugby teams was, you know, it's a subtle difference. But he says it's so evident in the kind of rugby that the two teams play. He says, you know, when it gets to the end of a game for South Africans, they look and analyze all the things that they've done wrong, and then they talk about it. At the end of a New Zealand game, they would talk about the creative plays that was done by the players, and they encourage them to do even better. Living lives of thankfulness means that you and I must see what God is busy doing, and we must join Him. We must get more excited about those things. Isn't it so that many times you and I find ourselves in the midst of worship, and tonight was one of those moments where I stand before God and I just feel, oh God, I don't want to lift my hands. I don't want to even take a step to the left or to the right. But isn't it so when you make a decision in the midst of your desert experiences to mechanically just say, God, but I'll worship You. I don't want to, but God, I'll do it. And then when you do it, you just experience God speaking into your life. And guys, you know what? In the midst of your desert experience, in the midst of your circumstances, love God. Be real people before God. Jeremiah's message, you know, was to let Israel understand that they must live thankful lives. You know what? I sat with the kids the other day, and we were, you know, having some family time together, and we spoke about the fact that, you know, I'm away from house, from the home a lot of the time, and you know, me and my wife, we had the opportunity to again just tell the kids why we are doing what we are doing. Why we don't live normal lives. Why we can actually, you know, go and do God's business, do God's work, And in the midst of that, get excited about what God's doing in our midst. You know what? I saw that little faces just getting to the revelation of a life of thankfulness toward God. And tonight I want to encourage you. I want to say to you, you know what? In the midst of what's happening within this city, in the midst of what's happening in this country, there's a prophetic voice that God wants to hear, the Jeremiahs, the ones that can hear what God is saying and speak hope. In Bloemfontein, I went to, I am not a Blue Bull or a Cheetah supporter, but I went to the game last Saturday. It was actually an awesome experience. But I've not experienced so many negative talk in my whole life while sitting at on that stadium. You can hear the people, you know, talking around you, and we as a nation are not at a good place. I listen to so many Christians, and I can tell you it's negativity from the start of their speech to the end. I want to encourage you as Christians. Let us just stand quickly tonight. That we would go back and speak the word of God to this town. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans of welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Father, tonight, in the name of Jesus, we stand before you. I want to thank you, Father, for the privilege of being your sons, your daughters. The fact that we receive the revelation of Christ, that we can stand before you and we can declare, like Jeremiah, that, Father, we cannot contain the burning desire, the burning of our bones to speak the truth of God to so many others. Father, we want to sit around the fireplace with our friends and we want to worship. We want to testify of your goodness. Father, we want to live real lives where we go into our community and, Father, nothing that we do reflects us being ashamed of the gospel or of you. But, Father, the gospel being the solution for the nations. Father, we've got the solution, and tonight we declare, Father, that we really want to receive your heart. We want to receive your plans. We want to receive, Father God, the fact that you have not lost hope for this community. That, Father, in the midst of Christians fighting with one another, Father God, I want to ask you tonight that you will again bring us back to the focus of Christ being the center of our lives. That we will not be, Father God, just better than our brother, but, Father, we will truly be transformed by your presence in our lives. I pray in the name of Jesus tonight, Father, that you will open our eyes to see the solutions for George. Father, that you will give us the opportunity to just slot into your presence, to slot into your plans, and Father, to follow you, to join you. Father, tonight we recognize each one of us standing here that there's nothing that we have to offer. There's nothing, Father God, that we can offer that can make a change except you in our lives. And Father God, we are so often so behep. Father God, so freakishly, Father God, in control of our lives and our giftings, Father God, that we think that we are the bee's knees, and Father, still yet, it's just a privilege to follow you. It's just a privilege, Father God, to recognize that, Father, we can actually partner with you and feel contentment in our hearts. And tonight we need that contentment. We need that place, Father God, of reverence toward you and your purposes in our lives, Father God, that we can move from faith to faith, like that we can, Father, be able to walk like Jeremiah to a place, Father, where we can buy that land because we've got faith in you. Father, I want to pray in Jesus' name that you will come and transform our hearts tonight. that you will give us a heart for this place. Father, we know. We know that Jeremiah, Father, was a weeping prophet. He was, Father God, a prophet of the times because he prayed for his city. He prayed for his nation. And tonight, Father, I ask you that you will raise up intercessors in this place that will, Father God, truly pray for this city so that it can be transformed. I want to pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, that you will give us the heart that we will weep over this city. Father, that in the midst of its calamity, there will be hope. And tonight, Father, I want to pray in Jesus' name that the 70 years, we know, Father, it was never for Israel. That the comfort, Father God, and the hope was not even for Israel. But the 70 years was for Babylon. And tonight we recognize that, Father God, it's not because of our comfort. It's not about the good things that can happen in our lives. But, Father, the lives that you can change through us in the city. In the name of Jesus tonight, we declare, Father, that let our lives be sacrifices. Sacrifices. Father God, of a peace offering unto you. Father, use us. Use us as much as you want. Father, if you can just change this city, if you can change this nation, and that you can bring, Father God, hope to this continent again, I pray, Father God, that you will raise up the kind of leaders in this church that will not be fixed on their own contribution, but truly they will be focused, Father God, on understanding the times to redeem George as a city in the name of Jesus. Father, we know that if for a time such as this, we must be here. And Father, that you've called us to this place. And therefore, Father, you will use us. And Father, this city will not stay the same anymore. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. While we keep our eyes closed, tonight if you're here, you know what? You can either choose one of three things. You can choose to be in Babylon and stay there without hope. You can get to the place where you can tell yourself, listen, I want to only survive. I'm just going to make sure that every day I just do my little prayer, just do my little, and I will stay the same forever. Or you can dare tonight to step out and say, God, I will rule over my circumstances. I will rule over this town and all the negative stats that's out for this town. And Father, I want to see your kingdom come. Is there any such person here tonight? Just raise your hand where you're standing. Father, I want to pray for every hand being raised. Because tonight, Father, I ask that you will give significance to their lives. Father, that they will not think about their own comfort, about, Father, even the resources that they have, and about all the excuses. But tonight, Father, we declare that we want to live real lives for you. We want to dare to say, Father, that things will not stay the same while you are in the midst of George. And Father, I ask that you will tonight, with your Holy Spirit, speak into these people's lives. And Father, that you will give them a clear guidance toward the plans and purposes that you have. Because it's good plans. It's awesome stuff that you want to do. But Father, we don't want to live these ordinary lives of no significance, because you orchestrate life. And we want to be part of that orchestration. In Jesus' name. Amen. Many of you have raised your hands tonight. If there's anyone that afterwards just has a desire to get out of the pit, that wants to get out of that miry clay, you know, just that place where you just feel, you know, you're in Babylon. there's no reason for you to celebrate anything, then I want to ask you to come afterwards. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to trust God to really change your heart and your circumstances to such an extent where you again will start to hope and see the plans of God. Amen. Is that all right? Amen. Just quickly sit down. I know we're psyched up and we're going to do awesome stuff for God. I'm very excited. Paul, just quickly come to the front. This is not very good news, but it's also good news. Your wife, Nadine. Paul is going to just quickly share with you what's on his heart. And many of you already know, and especially the leaders. But it's important for us tonight just to quickly talk about the future. We're very excited, actually, about what God is doing. But I know that it's got implications for you.
Okay, I can't even think I can share it. Ja, lang story kort te maak. Dis op wat geval. As ons net ons seisoen in George maak klaar. Ons beweeg aan bietjie Kaapse kant toe. Hartseer. En is ja, ons het ingeplan die en ja, ons net ons einde laas jaar ek sê die Here met ons begin praat dat ons seisoen klaar maak. Ons nie verstaan wat dit behels nie. En ja, die Here het, hy roep ons daar na die, Bernardspoort altijd die riverse kant toe, ons gaan aan Kousevier bly, ons gaan bykie help by Tygerberg, dus ons gaan help. En ja, die Here het ook met my gesels oor een lang periode vir so 3 maanden, begin die jaar en goeder, so het kom nou al een stukkie aan en dinge. En ja, hy roep my weer terug in die bezigheidswereld in, so my, dis maar net my 8 tot 5 wat bykie gaan verander, my 8 to 5 is going to change a bit. And yeah, so our season in George is ending, which is very sad, but it's obviously a season where God calls us to. It's something that God has been speaking to us in our hearts, to leaders as well. And when we spoke January with the leaders in Stellenbosch, they confirmed it, that that's where God wants us to go. So this, yeah, this hartseer, but it's good times. It's where God leads us. It feels like when you leave school, when you matric. You know, you can't go back to matric. You have to go out of matric to move on. And that's where we're at the moment. It's we're moving out of school into where God calls us. And, yeah, so it's just that. But it's, yeah, our hearts is really, we've had such fun times in George. Also, we're still going to be here for a while. I'm going down in July, and Nadine will probably come down in August, end of July, beginning August. And, yeah, so. So sad, is it?
Yeah, we're very excited, actually, for Paul and Nadine. The fact that they are actually what we prayed about tonight and what we talked about, that they are daring to step into that place of perfect obedience to Christ. And it's a joyous experience for us because we know that for Paul, it was now a long time that they've been praying through this and trusting God for... to guide them into this new season. So, Paul, yeah, thanks. And I want to thank you guys for just the obedience that you brought to the church as well and just the way in which you, tonight's word, you actually live it. The fact that you really laid your lives down and trust God to come and show you the way forward. And we are very excited, actually, for you. And even though it's a sad opportunity tonight just to talk about leaving. Amu, you guys can just quickly come to the front because we the leaders know it by now. Is his wife? His wife actually had to go. Amu and his wife is a beautiful couple here as well, and they will be taking over from them. We're excited about that. We're going to celebrate that one of these days as well. And yeah, I want to actually just ask you guys to walk the road with him, to trust God for this new season, and really to bless them as they take over as well. Paul, maybe you should just say when it will happen.
Okay, next. It was quite difficult just to see everybody's faces. It was like, waiting for this good news and then, so this might be tough. All the lies about why our house is selling, that we're in financial distress and that it's all lies. It's because we were moving that the house was on the market, for those that were wondering. But Amo and them are coming, Ian Cornell and Nicholas and Eva. And Amo, those of you know Amo, he's actually our student pastor in Stellenbosch. He's a great man of God. He's the third generation of people that's in the ministry full time. His dad is one of the dominies in South Africa. When the demons hear his name, they tremble. His dad walks into a situation and almal wat the demon keert begin besef hierdie oom stap in autoriteit. So Amo comes in here. He's got lots of authority in the spirit as well. And we're excited. We've prayed about it. Through the process, you never know who's coming to take over. It's a hard thing. It's a hard, meaning HRRD, but also a hard thing. And I'm very excited about Amo and Cornell. And I want you to encourage you. We've spoken to the leaders this afternoon. The leaders are excited. When you start knowing Amo, he even cries more than I do. So, which is good news. And it's really at the place. Amu and Cornell's heart for the gospel is amazing. Cornell actually works at Procorus, which is our vehicle that we use to go into poor communities and spread the gospel through physical aids and stuff. And obviously uplifting communities. So they bring a big supplement into George as well. Speaking of what Hercules spoke about, that whole thing of uplifting communities. So we're very excited about that. They may be moving end of this week. So we don't know yet. When they find a house, then. So if you know about a house that's vacant and they can move in there, they'll come on Wednesday, no? Friday?
Thursday,
okay. And then, as I mentioned, I'll be around till July. I'll come every weekend anyway till August. It's just in the weekdays I won't be in July. You'll see me off on it on Sunday, so that's all right. So let's say I'm leaving at the end of July, or our family, and then Alma and them will take full reins here. Yeah, I'm going to work at Pep. Who knows what Pep is? Huh? So if it's the people's boutique, yes. If you see me, I'm going to actually train in Hibernia Street. So die van julle wie se manne se onderbroeke 'n bietjie oud is, né? You can come get some discount from me. So if you see me then, Pep, again, it's not because I'm in financial distress. It's just because I'm training. Last year in November, when God said our season is over in George, we knew it's going to happen somewhere in this year. And then we never knew how it's going to happen. Then he said, I must go back into the business world. And I was like this. I was telling God, look here at my skin color. Look how long I was out of the corporate world. There's no way. And then God just said, he's going to make a way. And then, he just opened up doors miraculously. I didn't apply for the job. The people actually contacted me and said, like, we want you. I went through 3 interviews after they said they want me, so I don't know why so many interviews. Yeah, and then we obviously in the middle of May it was confirmed and everything. So as jy baie vra het met julle maar daai tyd met koffie met my gesels. Cool.
Yeah, we're going to do the farewell later, so we're not going to to say goodbye tonight, so please do not cry too much tonight. We'll cry later. but Paul, thanks. I can just see your heart. And again, we know that you love the people of George. So it's not as if it's not sacrificial for you guys as well. We know that it's sacrificial. And that actually it was a lot more easier to stay here. You have a nice house. I know because I stay here on holidays. when I preach here at the congregation, Paul normally gives me the opportunity to stay in his house. So I'm going to miss that. So you must get a nice house, eh? but thanks, guys. And then I just want to actually ask you guys, especially with the fast move that you help Amu and his wife to come and establish themselves. They're wonderful people, and I'm trusting God for great things to happen here. Do you want to say something?
It's always a little bit of an awkward situation. Yeah, like a funeral. With the resurrection. I feel a little bit like Peter de Villiers after the World Cup, Jake White's going So I'm going to grow myself a moustache and then I'm going to get the snorthority or whatever you want to call it. It was just so great. We went to, my wife and I, to this little coffee shop, I don't know, in York Street somewhere. That's York Street, huh? The one where the spur, somewhere. And we were just talking to the guy behind the counter, and I told him, yes, we're probably going to see you around. We're moving here, da, da, da. And he's like, oh, from where? I'm like, Stellenbosch. He says, oh, that's sad. I'm like, why is it sad? You should tell me it's a great move. And then this lady just next to me, she was like, it's going to be a great move if you slot into a good church. So I just wanted to say amen to that. We know that we're just carrying on with Paul and Dean's momentum, and it's been amazing actually to start meeting you guys. Sorry for all those white lies. Some of you were asking me, so what are you doing here? Why Stellenbosch? Why are you here? Da, da, da. Thank you just for, I know that you guys are going to receive us. Thank you for what you've already done. But we know that God is in charge of this church. We know that God's building his church. We know that it doesn't depend on the pastoral couple. We know that all of you are ministers in this church. And just from what we've experienced here, Cornell and I, we're just overwhelmed by God's presence in this place. So, yeah.
Great. Thank you. Okay, thank you, guys. Let's just stand and pray for them. No, please come back. Let's just pray. Let's stand and just raise your hands toward them. Let's release them and bless them really to lead God's church well. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus tonight. Father, it's awkward moments, this, Father, where we come to the end of a season, but Father God, also we know that your kingdom, Father, is established upon your will and your purpose. And Father, you love us enough that you partner with us, Father, and that you prepare our hearts for a moment such as this. I know that you've prepared this church, Father, even though many here didn't even know about this move, Father, you've prepared their hearts for the next season. And I want to pray tonight, Father, that you will establish your ways in this church and even more momentum will come because your will, Father God, comes to fruition in this church. We establish tonight, Father, your plans. We ask you that you will guide us, that, Father, we will never think that we've arrived, that we will always be dependent, Father, on your will. And we pray for these couples now, Father, and even Cornell in her absence now with the clan one, the little one, Father. We pray for her and for Amu, Father. We pray that you will really bless them in their moving here, that you will raise them up to be mighty warriors, Father, here in George. And Father, that you will bless them indeed, Father, for a season such as this. I pray for Nadine and Paul, Father. I pray in the name of Jesus tonight that you will bless them for this faithfulness. Father, it's really commendable. Tonight, Father, we recognize your faithfulness over their lives, that you've sustained them, that you've raised them up. And Father, we also recognize the gift on their lives, Father, to plant churches. And we know this is not the first one, Father. We know that there's still a lot to come. That even being in the secular world, Father, we know that their desire is to raise up many more congregations, for your kingdom. And we declare that over their lives tonight. We declare, Father, that this vehicle that you're going to use now through PEP, that this will be a blessed season in Jesus' name, that you will give them clear guidance every step of the way. And Father, even if it's going into Africa to go and establish a shop, Father, it's still going to be your kingdom that comes, Father. And we declare tonight, Father, that over their lives, in the name of Jesus, bless them for their faithfulness. Amen. Great. Great, guys. I want to just encourage you that if there's any of you that need some prayer tonight, please come afterwards. Is there the worship team? Did they run away? Huh? Can you, just play a last song for us? You can speak to Paul and Dean afterwards. Is there coffee? Okay. So Paul gaan vir ons lekker koffie hierso, and we're going to enjoy some fellowship with them. But please do not leave this place if you need some prayer. Great, thanks guys.